Malachi chapter 3. You know, we started to read that yesterday. When we come to the night service, we cannot get into all these details. I will just say one or two things and we'll pray on finance. But we'd encourage all of them to get the tapes. Malachi chapter number 3. But from verse 1, it says, "See, I will send my messenger and who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you're seeking will come to this temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For it will be like a refiner's fire, or like a launderer's soap. It will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. It will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men." At that point, the Lord will have men bring offerings in righteousness. Again, look at all the things that have happened here. The Messiah, the Lord that we're waiting for to come, is coming, and he has purified, and the refiner's fire had come. And the refiner's fire and all that. All for God. God said the first thing that will happen after all this renewal is that then he will have men bring him an offering. For you to know how important this offering thing is. He will have men bring him an offering. One would have thought after all this great spiritual stuff, the messenger whom we seek is coming, the God of the message, this, that, that, that. Then you would have said, oh, mighty revival will happen and people, the name will be walking, the dead will be raised, the lepers will be cleansed. God said, but the first thing that would happen after all that cleansing is that he will have men bring him an offering. This thing must be very vital and important to God. We'll have men bring him an offering. Verse 4, an offering in righteousness. Now, this offering in righteousness just means, and I keep telling you this, do not play with sexual sin. It will make you poor. If you think that because you're young, you have energy to be sleeping with anybody you want, it is going to make you very poor. It is going to make you broke. And I would rather that it even makes you poor now. Some people, the Bible says there are some people whose sin is now judged. It said, but there are some whose sin goes ahead of them. That's the terrible one. And a person's sin goes ahead. It won't manifest now. The person will be living and say, I thank God for grace. Oh, wow, God really helped me. Oh, thank God for his mercy. No, sin had gone ahead. It's traveled 10, 15, 20 years before you to wait. And strikes you at the most vulnerable time. May that never be our portion. Amen. Then the Lord will have men, verse 4. And the offerings, someone say offerings. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by. As in former years. What are the days gone by? The days when the offering that the children of Israel brought to build the tabernacle was acceptable to the Lord. And they built the tabernacle and God came down. What are the days of past? Like the days when Abraham will offer offerings to God and God will accept it and God will bless Abraham. What are the days of past? Like the days that Solomon will offer 1,000 burnt offering to the Lord and God will appear. Not like the days when you will offer and you know nothing is coming out. What's going on here? It said, it will be as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. We will soon get there this afternoon when you would see. When he says that those who defraud laborers, That's talking about the banking system. I will show you, the Bible says he who loans on interest, the Bible says he gathers his wealth to give to the person who will have pity on the poor. That's going to happen to the banks and all those industries. Just stay with me. I want to take you, sister. I'm just trusting God that this is not too advanced for you. But if it's too advanced for you when you are young and your mind is active, then it will be too advanced when you are older. Or it will be too late. You'll just hear it and say, oh, I wish I knew this some years ago. Well, I'm telling you now. Verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. Do you understand that? Meaning that what we are reading now in Malachi chapter 4 exists now. Because this is God speaking. I didn't change my mind. When you are purified, what he wants to do is that then you will bring an offering. And offerings will open heaven. The best way to the anointing is still giving. Let nobody deceive you. Fasting is not the way to anointing. If it was, I know of mighty fasters or fasting people. They have nothing. Prayer warriors have nothing. What we're praying for is God will give us money to give them to keep fasting. So you just keep fasting. God bless you. We'll be helping you so that you can focus. Maybe that's your calling. But if you're here, don't say, well, fasting is my own calling. Change your church. It's not for us here. You understand? You've got to prosper. I, the Lord, do not change. And someone will hear this and say, oh, so these new Pentecostal pastors don't fast. Well, we know better. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, descendant of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Do you see the same thing that happened in Deuteronomy 28? Is this turning away thing? Return to me and I will return to you, says the Almighty. Now, can I pause and say something there? When you've heard that, what will come to mind was return to me means come to the altar, cry, and say, oh God, I'm sorry. Pray more now. Live more now. But let's hear from the mouth of the Almighty. Because now he has said, return to me and I'll return to you. But you ask, how are we to return to you? Again, remember that what religion will say, it will stop at return to me. And again, that will mean stop committing that sin or stop this or stop that or stop. But you ask, how are we to return? And these are the point now that these things now get very important. How are we going to return to you? Again, this will stop with just come to the altar and cry and stop doing what is wrong and da 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 da. But let's see what God says. How are we to return? Then God answered, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, again, you would never have thought tithe and offering will come after return. Imagine your pastor comes to preach about revival and ends it with tithe and offering. People say, money on revival. Wow. How this, how that. But this is God speaking here, isn't it? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And God answered, in tithes and offerings. So, it really now calls for my curiosity because I want to now understand what is this tithes and offerings. It says, verse 9, it says, you are under a curse. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Did not say because you are sinning even. Because you are robbing me. You're under a curse. Bring the old tithe into this storehouse. Not a storehouse that you chose for yourself. There is a chosen storehouse. Now, I need you to understand this, please. When you tithe, you did not give money to God. It was and is God's money. You don't come out and say, I'm blessing the government by paying my tax. They believe it is theirs. Now, who is the government to set up a system and then take tax with joy? I don't know if they write you a letter to appreciate you for your tax. It is their right. It is for the development of the infrastructure of United Kingdom or any nation that you belong to. Why do you tithe? It's for the development of the infrastructure of the kingdom. Because the kingdom has infrastructure that must develop. The priests must teach the word. Missionaries must be helped. So, again, if a person therefore does not tithe, they do. Like, tax is a criminal offense, isn't it? And someone said, but I've evaded tithe before, but I'll just start doing it. No, you can't just say, well, you know, HMRC, I've evaded tax, but now, I promise you, from next month, I'll start payment. They say, yeah, that's great. But the ones you have owed, you will pay. Most of you will keep skipping your tithe. You will be very poor. Why? Because you are a criminal. No, I didn't say that because someone will hear this on tape and they will start criticizing pastors. And if a person is hearing it too and you don't tithe, you are a criminal. You are a thief. You are an armed robber. And you are sentenced in prison now. You are in prison. And I say, well, I had a dream and I saw myself in prison. Say, let's sort the first thing out. Are you a criminal? Seriously. This is God speaking in Malachi 3. Isn't someone will say, I believe the Bible, I don't believe in tithe. Yes, I know, because you are a robber, a criminal. Say, but the tithe came with the law. Said, no, the tithe has nothing to do with the law. It was brought into the law. The tithe started long before the law. The tithe started with Abraham. Abraham tithe, and there was no law then. And I've shown you scripture in church before when the Bible says that Jesus said, you tithe, cummins, and mint. He said, this you ought to do, plus. So I don't know what you want Jesus to say. You want him to really say, well, you must tithe. He said, this you ought to do. So you understand now the analogy of the kingdom and your tax. When you give your tithe, if a person comes to pay tithe, you didn't give God money. You gave him what is his. Why do you pay tax? Because of the provision, they say, of infrastructure. Well, but the system is so corrupt that you still pay for those infrastructure. We want to give you electricity. That's why we tax you. But I still pay for electricity. I pay tax and then pay road tax. The most illegal tax in the world is road tax. Because you call it tax. And I've taxed already. But, hey, the system says you must. And then you do so. God says, I give you life. You will remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. We will still get to that one. The power to get wealth means the wisdom and health that you've got in order to go do that work is God's one. He has the right to give it or to take it. That's why we tithe. That's why the 10% belongs to God. It is not the tithe that God then blesses you on. Because it's his money. Do you understand this? When you tax into a system, they say that they give you infrastructure. But when you then take money and invest within that system, then you make money. That's the difference between tithe and offering. Your taxes will give you infrastructure. Your offering is your investment in the kingdom. It is upon the offering that you either get blessed or not. Let's read it. Bring the old tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, not in yours. In my own house, the kingdom will have food for the building of the tabernacle that God asks for. But that doesn't bring money to your own house. That doesn't bring increase to your own house. It brings increase to your spiritual life. You will grow because there is food in his house. Test me. The only scripture that you will see, the only time that God said, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see, if I will not throw open the windows, New NIV says, the floodgates of heaven, and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed. All the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God says to us, the place of robbing him is the tithe and the offering. So very simple. He didn't say you robbed him or you are a robber because you don't tithe alone. So there are still people who rob God and they are tithers, but they don't give offering. Your tithe cannot be 100,000 and your offering is £500. How? But the how is very simple. It's the same way we live in this realm. We pay whatever under law and duress, whatever the tax man says we should pay. But in investment, we don't invest. We won't invest. And then we'll say, I don't know, this country is tight. Of course it will be tight, because your tax is your tax. Your tithe is your tithe. Your offering is your investment. So now let's travel to the New Testament and let's see Paul the Apostle. Because when we start, now after that, then we will come into how God will transfer wealth from the world to us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And thank God this is our fasting period, so it's not like I want to call for a seat now. No, we're just praying. We're praying for finances. So it's not. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And now, brothers, we want you, this will be a long reading, but I want you to please follow me. Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian church or churches. Out of the most severe trial. You know what severe trial means? Very simple. The things that make you not to give offering and tithe. Severe trials. But let's see how this church behaves. Out of the most severe trials, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich what? Huh? In rich generosity. Their severe trial made them more generous. Not, oh, pastor, if you just pray for me at this point, oh, you know. No, they became more generous, so much so that their pastor didn't even know what they were going through. Amazing stuff. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Beyond. Do you understand what the word beyond means? They were not leaning on their ability alone. And that's what I'm going to be ringing this bell to you young people in the church. You must go look for a temporary job that makes you give. If all it is to just make you give for the month, that's what you do. That's the way you've got to be blessed. Told you, I was talking to one of your sisters. Say, I've stopped my job because I'm going to do my master. So I said, really? So what happens to the church when you're doing that? It's not because I'm waiting on our offering. That's the truth. But I'm just thinking for her. So what would happen? Say, well, you know, for me, I've put some money aside, I can manage till I finish, really. So I discovered why we're always not blessed. You can be fine. But the storehouse where your real food, your spiritual covering comes from, you know, we'll see how it goes. Doesn't matter. So I said, what happens if we all stop our job and go do our masters? What would happen? I never thought of that. Yeah, you don't think much, do you? That's why you don't have. If some of you think at all, there is nothing that will stop you from being a millionaire by now. It's just that if this is the system, and I'll show you why this must be the system, under which we want to enter into the financial realm that God has planned for us, you must seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom. You must. It's a must. It's not a quotation. It's not a song. It's a lifestyle. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely to their on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for privilege of sharing in this service. What service? The service of offering and giving to the same. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. I told you about living free from sin and then living through your offering. Malachi 3. Then, after purifying, refining them in the fire, then I will have men bring me an offering. They gave themselves first to the Lord. After that, they've given themselves. So, my offering and tithe is not acceptable until I've given myself, not my perfection, myself. I must give myself, but I can't also start and say, well, I've given myself, but not my money. Because if you give yourself, you give your money. You won't even have two words. Most of you still have two words. I'll take care of this, then I'll take care of that. I'll do this, then I'll do that. Now, again, remember that I'm not saying this because of you, even though I'm saying it because of you. Let me tell you how a church works. A church's fall is driven by people. So what God does is that it changes people. And I discovered that when God changes people, it makes it better each time it does so. That's how God works. And I say, that pastor just wants me to give. No, it's not you. If he wants you to give, it's for you. Because you'll be surprised that what you are calling giving today, someone will come tomorrow and give better without pains. It's very simple. So it's about me saying that I'm available for what you, God, wants to do through me. So you'll see that the whole of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 was given. Actually, let me just try and read everything. Verse 6. So we ought Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace. What did he call giving? An act of grace. May you receive grace today. Amen. He said that this act of grace on your part, but just as you excel in everything, you excel in faith, you excel in speech, you excel in knowledge, in complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of war. Talk to me, please. Said, as you excel in knowledge, in speech, in faith, in this, nobody should pastor, announce fellowship, pastor anywhere without being known as prolific givers. Because otherwise they will be dry. Nobody should be a singer, a worship leader who is not a giver. They'll be dry. You can't take me where you've not been, my friend. Again, I know that this is a giving church, and I'm saying that in all generality and sincerity, general meaning for everybody. I'm not commanding you, verse 8. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. You see what Paul said there? I'm testing this the sincerity of your love by asking you to give. It's as simple as that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor so that you through his poverty might what? Amazing stuff. So some people want to say Jesus is poor, was poor, never had this, never had that. Yes, because he became a substitute. Do you understand substitution? Meaning I became poor so that you might become rich. So if we're talking about following in his footstep, there are things that you follow his footstep. There are things you accept his substitution. On this one, we accept it. He became poor. Why? So what happens if I don't become rich? I wasted his sacrifice. I made what he did to be of no effect. Wasted everything. In heaven, there was no lack, there was no but. He became poor here that I may become rich. So I must become rich. Otherwise, I failed his whole purpose. And someone said, well, that's not physical riches. Well, it's not in the bracket there. So how you came up with that, I don't know. He said, I just know because I've studied. Well, then you just put it this way. He became poor that I may become poor. And let's see if you are not a psychiatric patient. And here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. I'm still reading the Bible. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so now. Finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved and all that and all that. Then he sends Titus to them. Look at chapter 9 now. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. What service? Giving. For I know your eagerness to help. And I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has steered most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. This is Paul talking about money, you know. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangement for the generous gifts you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this. Verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap out. What does it mean to sow sparingly? Anyone wants to help out with that? Reluctantly and sparing the larger amount. You know when you open your wallet and you see 50, you go past 50, travel past 50, travel past 20, travel past 10, travel past 5. And check your purse for the coins. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. God will also go past good jobs, go past APMG if you are working, go past Goldman Sachs, go past whatever, go past, and until it gets to Tesco on North Kent Road. They said Tesco is a good one still. Or get you into the big company and go past CEO, go past manager, go past that, and come to. Why? Because you're also so sparingly. He said you will also reap sparingly. God will also spare you of good position. You know, when you hear spear me of this, God say, hey, you speared. I will also spear. Shakespeare. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. You know, some people leech on that. Well, you know, I just want to give what I've decided to give. When you go for that, remember, that's exactly what touches God's heart. God says, I will also give what I've decided. You can't be the decision maker in your giving and then also be the decision maker in what God must do. Well, God, I've given this. I want you to give me the best job. God says, you decided. Let me decide. A person must do as he has decided, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at how many times? Now, that's where I want to get to. Every time, you know, when you have all times, having all that you need, you will abound in how many good works? Everything that is good work. I realized years ago when I was studying this, I realized that anywhere you find good work in the Bible, you what it means is giving. The only thing he referred to as good work. So that you will always have all the time. Verse 9. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gift to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So he calls giving righteousness. You know what the word righteousness means? Right standing. He calls giving right standing with God. When you give, he calls it you are standing right with God. Amazing stuff. So why would I want to be poor not to have to give? So each service that I have nothing to give, my right standing is questionable. So I told people what I decided to do with my offering years ago, and that's not because one has. Is I made up my mind what the least of my offering should be. Calculate what you give, and we've done this calculation as a church before. If your offering in a month is 200, it means all through that year, multiply 200 by 12, which of course many of us don't even move near that, maybe £50 a month. By 12, meaning that year you've given how much? £50 a month. £50 a month. £600 is what you've given as offering for 12 months. You understand that? For the whole of 12 months, that's what your offering is. And you'll be shocked that most times it's even lesser. Now, there's a problem there. Now, unless you are deliberate about your offering, you will never give anything as offering. And you'll realize that there will be more than 2-3 things in your life for that year that you spent double on. Subconsciously, you'll realize that it could be your hair, it could be your baby, it could be your clothes. You'll realize that you spent much, much more on those things than on your offering. Now, if that's the way it is, then we cannot expect a blessing. It says you are a robber. So from day one of my own work on these things, I just decide I'm just going to hear God speak and do it. I will not have any priority before my tithe and offering. It's not going to happen. I refuse to. I'm not going to sit down and calculate, oh, how much is my tithe for this. I'll just give without sparing. Of course, you will buy good clothes. Of course, you will eat. Of course, you will. It is now that we started to buy whatever is good. I'm telling you, what we used to do is to keep and take care of what we have. Because I'm not going to substitute my offering for clothes. I wasn't going to have it. Many of you do that. You wear nice things and you don't look at what's my offering. Because it's my offering first. It is my offering that will create what the lifestyle I want to live in the future, what I want to. And it is still my offering that will sustain that lifestyle. And that's why some of us can boast and say, I have no account or savings. Just don't. I don't believe in it. I believe you should save. God help you. One day they will take your money. That's going to happen. I hope you know. One day they will wake up and say, you've got to contribute half of your savings. Things are tight in the country. You know how many years I've been saying that? Nobody believes. It happened in Greece. They took it. And they're going to take it. I didn't even know that. It will. No? Okay. Part of it is. And the pension one is saving. But one day they will just wake up and say, if you have over 5,000, you've got to donate 2.5. Then, of course, you will riot. You will go on the street. You will do all that. But they will just say, well, don't worry. We will pay it back in a certain way. Simple. Because the Babylonian and Egyptian system cannot sustain itself. But God has a plan. And I'm coming to that. I told you this would be a long session, so I drank some Coke. But you're not allowed to. I'm the pastor. I'm the one speaking. No, you're not allowed to. I'm speaking. You're not. You're just nodding your head. And then I pray more than many, all of you. So I have the right to. And then you are only in your 20s. Most of you. So when I was in my 20s, too, I was fasting a lot. I know some of you are not in your 20s, but I still fasted more than you, isn't it, David? Yeah. Pastor Mark, I fasted more than you. Not reluctantly. No, okay, we're now in verse 10. Now, he will supply seed to the sower. Now, this is deeper than just what it is. He supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. Will also supply and increase your store of seed. What does he call your bank account? It's a store of seed. It's not your saving that will help you to get out of trouble. He calls it the store for seed. So that if a day comes and I, the Lord, speaks to you, say, go and sow, so you will have something to sow. So on that, I believe in sowing. So that you are not in a place where you are saying, I never have, because you've spent it on other things. Your investment is also your store of seed. It's the one that watches over your investment, keeps them. When Babylonian system is falling, properties are falling, yours will not. Remember, there was darkness all over Israel, Egypt, but Goshen had light. Increase your store of seed. This is called multiplication of whatever you invest in. Your store of seed. And will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich. Can I hear an amen to that? You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on how many occasions? So it's going to make you rich so that you can be generous. I told you why Japan is not a Christian nation. You remember that? Because when the church was supposed to go in there and harvest, because now they have someone that has just won the Second World War, overthrew the emperor there, and he had wired back to America to say, send missionaries, send da da da. They said, we can't come. Why? We don't have money. No money. So Japan, it's one of the greatest opportunity for the church, but we couldn't harvest it. There's no money. So that you will be made rich in every way. Every way. You know what every way means. So I don't know why someone will still antagonize this based on religion. It said every way. So if you say spiritual, it just means spiritual. Well, okay, I accept that. And I also accept money too. It said every. Every means every, right? So that you'll be made rich in every way. Why? So that you can have to give on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 12, because this is one of the places I'm going. This service that you perform, is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience. We're back to Deuteronomy 24 now. For the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. Do you understand what these things mean? What is the obedience that accompanies your confession of Christ? Given. The obedience that follows it. So, someone is not a giver, but they've confessed Christ. You know what that means? There's no, exactly, disobedience. There's no obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. You see how important this thing is. You see why the church is poor? Because we separated the obedience of gospel from money. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with giving. Just serve your God from your heart. And don't live in sin. You are good. No, you're not. There's an obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Look at verse 14. And in their prayers for you, their heart will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given. What is this surpassing grace? Talk to me now. He said, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. And if you have my kind of Bible, it ends it with exclamation. Meaning, say, thank God for this indescribable gift. Paul was saying this simply. He said, when you give, there are people that you will never meet whose heart goes out to pray for you. You don't understand the life of a giver. Their heart abounds in thanksgiving. This is what I must then labor for, to give. Do you understand these things? So if I labor to give, I understand what I'm doing. This is the only place where people will be blessed. Because pastor came out to preach. Because someone walked out of the church and crying on the altar and went, you'd never met them. Why? Because you gave. That's why you don't give your money to time wasters and useless people. They know you. You are the one who gave them. They went to use your money to drink or to commit fornication or to do this and do that. Number one, their prayer will never be accepted. It said this generosity will make the heart of many men, women, children go out to you. So, if I'm going to settle in a church, I will notice my pastor and say, is this guy a giver? Is he a giver? Or is he a taker? You know, there are pastors that are takers. They just want to take. They are after, they want to buy a mortgage. They want to buy a car. They want to do this. They want to do that. They quickly take the money to, if they are from Africa, to go and start building a house. Say, I have a project. Now, both them and you will be poor as well, especially if God allows you to see and you don't say no. That's why we build things. We cannot tell you to do what we don't do. We live giving life. Just this week, all the money I've ever had, it was in my wallet. And on two occasions, God had told me, give everything to so-so-so. Give everything. I'm saying, Lord, you know, but of course, I don't argue with God on that anymore. I've learned through a process. And someone said, why didn't you give it to me? Because if I do, I will be poorer. Because you are not a fertile ground. Because God didn't tell me to do so. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if it is really a fertile ground, meaning that let's assume that I gave that person 200 pounds. The person is also obeying God. Because I realize that most times when God has asked you to do that, maybe they are in a dead end obeying God on something. Obeying God. They are givers too. So, for a giver, you can be rest assured. Now, let's assume it's 100 pounds. Or I said 200. You can be rest assured that a giver is given 160 out of it out. Somehow, God will tell them to give. So, it's spreading. Do you understand these things? So, what is coming back to me It's not the prayer of the person that I gave it to, but the prayer of a lot of people that I did not know. Do you understand these things? That's what Paul was saying here, that the obedience that accompanies your confession will abound in thanksgiving. That's the way New King James put it. Will abound to thanksgiving from many. That your generosity will make many people thank God. And so, no wonder when you then get to a stage in your life, you just wonder why that door opened without stress. Why? No, somebody prayed one day that you didn't even know. People think it's your prayer and your faith that will always work for you. Most times, yours will not. Oh, wonder why did you marry right? Why are you protected first? Why don't you walk into evil? And you hear many stories of people walking into evil. There are some things and some people you've given to that you do not know. The day you withheld your tithe, someone was not blessed. They were crying. You will cry too. It's a matter of time. Except, of course, for periods like this when God has said, pray for this and mercy will come. But when mercy comes, it will tell you what to go do. And tell people, now you have a job. I think I was sharing this with Ms. Manny. If you have a job that pays you $3,000 a month, it's the opportunity for you to be blessed. But if you see now that, wow, now I can do a lot of things, you'll be surprised. Now you will eventually lose that job. It's not your father's job. Even your father's job you can lose. Then you begin to wonder when people start saying, at the time business was working, I was making money. I just need God to bless me. And I said, it won't bless you. What was your attitude to your pastor? To the work that God gave you? You were told it and you became the superstar of the church, isn't it? How, and then it went on and on. How will God transfer? I think I will end up with this tomorrow, but let me give you some bits and pieces. When we talk about, I told you yesterday that you, if you study the Bible, you'll realize that 98% of times that God has talked about finances, he directed it towards the end time. Study scriptures. Everything was pointing to the now. When it talks about the wealth that will come to the church, I tell you the truth in God's name, I lie not. This end time, from 2016, you'll begin to see people in churches getting very wealthy. I realize now that most times it's not people who are at the forefront. Because there are some people that silently obey God and they are obeying God. In what Deuteronomy really means by if you will fully. There is none of us that should lack anything. You shouldn't be in this position. Something is wrong. How does God give his children money? Through the world, but not by the world. I can start with Abraham. The Bible will tell us later, I think it's in Genesis 30 something or so. The Bible will tell us that, and Abraham was so rich in camels, in this, in that, when he left the Ur of Chaldeans, the first thing God told him is get out of your father's house, because in this place I cannot bless you. He had nothing. But by the time we will see him later, he was so blessed. Where did he get the wealth from? Egypt. He got the wealth from Egypt because God was with him in Egypt. When the children of Israel sinned, you know the sin the children of Israel committed? And God said, with this sin, God said to Joshua, I will no longer be with you. Do you know the sin they committed? First fruit sin. It was first fruit sin. They had gone to fight a city that is big and there was no way they could conquer that city. The name of that city was Jericho. And God said, every gain you make from Jericho is your first endeavor into such a big field. God said, every profit you make is mine. But there was a guy there who stole a Babylonian garment. And he kept it in his house. So you would wonder why Joshua was so strict with his punishment. He killed him and his family. Because he had to purge the land. What was the sin? First fruit sin. And because of first fruit, so don't let any religion deceive you that money is not important to God. Because of first fruit, these guys went back to fight a smaller city called Ai. And they were killed. Until Joshua came and said, what's going on here? And God said, someone has stolen something that is mine. You know, when we begin to pray this evening, we're really going to cry to God and say, in my past, in my present, anything that I've taken that is yours. You know that girl God told you not to touch and you touched her. You know that guy you went to sleep with and he's God's servant. He's God's, you know. You've got a Babylonian garment in your pleasure diary. You're going to pay. You can't. I told you that's why adultery and those things are very, 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 very dangerous. You don't know the extent. But thank God because he's rich in mercy. Next time, I told this to all the young pastors and growing, don't sleep with someone in your fellowship, you know. They are God's people, you know. Don't take advantage because you're not a young pastor. Don't do that, you know. You'll be touching God's fruit, something, someone that God wants to use. And if you're a lady too, if someone is a pastor struggling to make sure they live right and you go sleep with them, you should know there are things not to touch. Go on the street and get men and sleep with them. Don't touch what belongs to God. If they are pestering you and say, I love you, don't say, no. The moment you became ordained, I can't touch you. It's better to just go and sleep with someone outside. You can't, you know. Those things will no longer just be adultery and fornication. Those things will be God's fruit, God's first fruit. God said, Israel is mine. Israel is mine. Don't touch it. Those things, thank God for his mercy, but those things don't live people's life most occasions. Please, I beg of you, don't. So, and for me, that's what scares me on adultery. And for it scares me. No, I know we should not be scared of sin to live sin, but this one, I receive the scaring. Just want to be scared. I don't care. I don't want grace for this one. I just want to be scared off. Know that can do every other thing. This one is no go area. It's not just, it's not something I was praying. It's God's, maybe that person is going to be an evangelist that will shake the world, and I will be the one to intercept that. As a lady wants, your house fellowship leader or any pastor here wants to start getting up, just know this is God's fruit. God will kill you. You're touching what belongs to him. It's his first fruit. So Achan touched the first fruit of God. And those around him that did not know when he stole this stuff died for it. Just the same way, if you get into this blessing, those around you that did not know about your labor and your giving, or even criticize your giving, they will be blessed for your sake. I think that's the path we should belong to, isn't it? Can I hear an amen? How does God transfer? So I said, it is not by Egypt's system or Babylon's system, not by your workplace or your business ingenuity, but true. We also saw the footstep of Jesus. Jesus traveled with 12 people. We'll major on the transfer more tomorrow. Jesus traveled with 12 people. And you wonder, where did he get the money from? How was he financing these things? The Bible says he went to every town and village. Now, if you're in the business of the gospel, you will know that takes money. You don't go to every town and village by the anointing. You can't. It takes money. And to travel with such a large entourage needed money. We're planning all the university stuff. I already know how much that will cost us money. So we began to read, and you can read it when you get home. I'm just stopping so that we can pray. Began to read Luke chapter 8. Then I saw the people that followed Jesus. Then at a point, you will find a lady called Johanna. And the Bible says she was the wife of the city Herod's treasurer. More like the wife of the minister of finance to Herod. Now, who was Herod? Jesus' sworn enemy. Do you see the sense in these things? It gets what we need from the world. If you are in Zuriel or any of this endeavor, you don't understand what God is doing. If you are in any business, the money that we're going to use for the gospel is from them. So I wish you would have people who, and that's why I told you, no matter what company you join, if they don't have prophetic mind, it's not going to prosper. If you have a young man hustling around, they're not going to add nothing to you. Because this is prophetic. It is prophetic in the side of finances. It is also prophetic in the side of souls. We were saying yesterday, if you take someone from Ministry of Sound and you bring them straight into the inner court, they will go blind. Because the kind of light that is in the inner court, yeah, is too bright for an unbeliever. So you know what God does? That's why we have the outer court and the passage, and then we have the holies of holies. In the outer court, there is need for intellectual and sense. They are little light. That's why God is training you in all these companies. That will bring them to talk to you. They will already begin to see a light. This is too deep for you, right? They will begin to see a little light. By the time you introduce them to the court of God, they will be able to relate. Now, when Paul saw the light of the inner court, he went blind. So now, God had to take him and say, go see a man. And those people started to now guide him. Those of you in Zuriel, Zion, Shalom, this is the assignment that you are called to do. You are people who are translating people. So you must put on that cap of these prophetic words. You're translating people from where they are. Then they will see your intellect. You guide them through the court. You're bringing them to God. Whereas the monies you need is in their ends. It's in the end of the councils, the end of the this, the end of the that. But it can't release it until you've come to full understanding. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all these guys, down to the days of David, plundered the world to make the kingdom rich. But why will he make you do that? Because if you are whole trying to just buy a house, you don't understand love and kingdom, because those are two things we will end this fast with tomorrow. Love and kingdom. Kingdom. Not church. Kingdom. Must be at the forefront of your heart. If the tabernacle they built cost $100 million, where did this money come from? From people. Where did the people get the money from? Because they've been in bondage for 430 years. Where did they get the money from? The plunder that happened in Egypt. With that plunder, they took gold, articles of gold, articles of silver, bronze and everything, and God did not say, all of you gather it to Moses. They all, he said, you go to your neighbors. All of you go to your neighbors and ask them for this, ask them for that. And when they had done that, they were so blessed. So, what is God gonna do? Now, let me give you one more scripture because you need to know this. Come with me to Proverbs, because the reason why I didn't mention this today, because tomorrow we'll see the transfer more properly. Why God is setting up all these companies and endeavors. I you know, those who will be part of you and out, they don't understand. Maybe because you leaders too don't understand it yet. You are prophetically and strategically placed for the end time wealth. You won't get it any other way. Your boss in your big company will not look at you one day and say, take my 10 billion. Never. It will be system set up to plunder the world. Proverbs chapter 28. I want someone to read it to me to read it to us in New King James. Proverbs 28 verse 8.
One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor.
What does he gather it for? You don't understand. If the CEO of Barclays Bank today, or the biggest property company, or the biggest this or that, if he says, I'm a billionaire, he gets it by usury. A bank, the world system can never work without cheating. Do you understand that? So he said, one who increases his wealth by interest and usury. Usury means they will work, but you never, you know, your workplace that you work for right now can easily pay you times two of what you are earning, and they will still be okay. Times 10. And you'll still be fine. But they will never. Because they are increasing their own wealth. Guess what the Bible says? The Bible says he's gathering it. Oh, I love this scripture. It says he's gathering it for he who will have pity on the poor. What do you think you're doing when you're doing London Academia or Zuriel? Pity or any other organ of what we're doing. Pity for the poor. So someone goes stuck themselves in their job, earning salaries, only to pay tithe and give minimal sparing offering and say, well, I expect God to bless me. God says, yeah, I love you, but you don't look like a person that will have pity on the poor. One who increases his wealth. I can show you another place the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So when you go on Forbes and you see these guys worth 40 billion, you don't pray to become like them. Just say, keep my money for me. You're keeping it. They are all keeping it for those who will have pity. When we have said that we want to buy a place that can take 2,000, I'm saying that we're going to have the state-of-the-art studio there for who? For the poor. We will be able to come and sit down there and do what they love to do, which is music, 24/7, if that's what they want to do. For the poor. Why? Because they don't have the platform to start that. Now, if we work with this mindset, and you start with the little you've got, and you will prioritize God over your hairdo, you prioritize kingdom over your shoe, you prioritize kingdom over what you quickly want to. I quickly just want to have my own house. Who told you God wants you to have a house? What if God says, I want you to build houses? And one person will look at you one day and say, I just love your heart for the poor. Here is a billion that I've made up my life. I know if I commit my money to you, you will use it for what I want it to do for. You will use it for the poor. You will help people. What I would say to you is, what you have found doing here is not a coincidence. It might not look at it from the beginning, because if it does, then that's no longer God. That's Satan. Satan is the only one that gives you things after showing you. He says, look at all the wealth I'll give it to you. God says, just follow me by faith. That's how God works. Satan is the one that comes and flash gold and say, if you do this, I'll give you. That's, and you would know already, that's not a genuine relationship, right? In genuine relationship, you follow. It is later you discover the gold he has in his hand. And it's not no longer going to be based on gold. It will be based on love. Love and kingdom. The world system works against love. The kingdom system works on love. The world system works on greed. Everything is greed in this world. Don't say, I have 20 houses. I say, for what now? How many people have you been able to employ or bless? I'm talking of a good Christian. I can bet how much you'll give to your church. If it is so that you can bless your church, how many? Because you are still running after your tenant that cannot pay. What is wrong with you? You have 20 houses. Give that one to him. Let him be using it. Usury. Greed. A businessman must be a businessman, but you must also watch, when does it become usury? Because he who increases wealth by usury gathers it up. And God began to say, you don't even understand how much wealth is in this world.